رمضان
رمضان
رمضان رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are tuning in once again to Ramadan Nights. We are at 9:29. I said 9:29. Well, I don't know where that came from, but 9:29 here at البيان Studios. We have with us the host Adnan Elchik, whose mic is not currently working. We're having some technical difficulties. We're calling in the cavalry, Sheikh Nidal himself, and we have two new guests. One of them a returning guest from many years ago, the one, the only, Abdussalam. Abdussalam.
Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
It's nice to be back. I'm good, alhamdulillah.
It's good to see you, man. You haven't changed.
Yeah, I've changed last year. This year to this, from last year to this year, not much change.
Is that good or bad?
Depends, bro. It depends.
Oh, it's good. Your hair hasn't changed much.
The hair's gone shorter.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good change. And we've got a new guest. I think a lot of you are actually familiar with him. He's the one that's always just posting on our Facebook, trying to roast us somehow or add some, you know, some benefit. May Allah reward him. We have Usaid Muhammad Rafiq, Al Jazeera, Palestine. You got to get close to the mic. This guy's a noob, bro. You know, it's his first time. You got to get closer, bro. You got to like straight into the mic.
Further away from the mic.
Yeah.
Assalamu
alaikum. How are you? Assalam. A bit closer, bro. I don't know, his mic's not... Is
I
his
don't think
his
mic...
I don't hear his mic either. Cavalry, Sheikh Nidal, we need the support. Abdul, it's just you and me.
I think we're better off just...
yeah, bro, I think I like it better like this, eh? You guys, can you go make us tea?
These boys don't add much value.
Yeah, so tell us, Abdul, what's happened since last Ramadan? You said not much has changed.
Wallah, it's been a quick year, subhanAllah.
It is, bro.
As it happens, man, It's a bit crazy to think of it that it's already been, you know, another 365 days.
Oop, I think we've got some mic action.
Are you back?
Yep.
Are we back?
Oh, the host is back.
We back.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear Usaid as well now. Now, that's it. We got all the four boys in. Right, did we get the tea ready? Is that not enough time? No.
We'll be spinning the tea very soon.
There's all actually right. A podcast called something like that, I think. Somewhere.
I don't know.
Chai with my bai.
Daily podcast.
Chai with my bai. No, there's another one about
daily
tea.
Podcast. I don't know. Is Albanian radio.
It's the place to be, huh?
The flex.
And then I'll let you take over as the one and only host.
All right. You were speaking too loud in the mic, but I didn't want to.
Sorry.
Interrupt. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. As Ahmed Rafiq said, we are on the 29th night of Ramadan. Almost ending.
Almost, pretty much end, yeah.
Is the mic noise good or am I too low?
No, you're fine, mate.
All right. We can hear you loud and clear. Beforehand.
Sorry?
Loud and clear.
I'm just buying some time so I can think of my next topic, guys.
the number, the radios.
Yeah, that's right. We are... to make sure to turn on your cars to 107.9 FM radio. Albayan is currently live onto the channel. There's many beneficial lectures, adhkar, Quran recitations, and most importantly, the Maghrib adhan. So you guys can break your fast.
This guy's hungry, man. He's struggling. Adnan, are you doing full days or half days?
Nah, three. When I sleep, 8 hours.
When you sleep 8 hours,
I'm not sure what that means.
Carry the one.
What do you mean your mom never did that for you guys? You can sleep at night. So you fast at night, sorry?
So you fast at night,
what?
Huh?
No, bro?
Yeah, I fast at night when I'm sleeping, bro.
Nah, bro.
Follow the Quran.
No, bro, I don't know what's bid'ah you're... Let's not get into it.
Okay.
We don't want to make you feel too bad, Ronnie.
Nah, I fast 4 days. But one day on, one day off.
Astaghfirullah, listen.
Astaghfirullah. Now, those are tactics to teach your little children, you know, if you want to get them into fasting. One day on, one day off, half days, or have a break when no one's looking. So yeah, today we are joined with our guests Usaid Rafiq and Abdussalam Amalif. They're not replacing Mazen because we really like Mazen. He just, you know,
he's on sick leave, Mazen, for this week.
Yeah.
Is he getting paid?
I don't know.
We're not, is he, are you getting paid? I haven't got my check for this week. This week's podcast.
I heard they applied for the job seekers job keeper payment. It hasn't gone through yet. So ScoMo, if you're listening to this.
Hey, don't get into politics. We're gonna delay that one.
We're gonna make him Muslim, bro.
Inshallah. So
Muslim.
let's get into the topic because we haven't gotten into it to get back into it yet. We were talking before we started and the mic went out. The differences possibly between this Ramadan and prior Ramadan, and we know that this Ramadan was heaps different to most Ramadans beforehand. Due to that, most of us were probably staying at home if we're doing a legal thing. the correct thing. Yeah, so most of us were staying at home, and we realized, for me, I've realized a lot of things personally, but we realized the big difference that the mosque plays in our life, whether people relied on a mosque or whether people didn't rely on a mosque. I, for myself, found out that I'm not as good as I thought I would be, and, you know, I'd be able to pray at home, and I'd have this, mashallah, this mad iman, and, you know, the mosque isn't going to really affect me. Me personally, I found that affected me a lot. You know, I wasn't as good as I would have been if the Muslim salah, the masjids were open. No. Do you guys have similar things, or you guys tanks, mashallah?
I don't know. Do you want to?
I'd say same experience. But just speaking about the mosque, I just remembered something. Especially now, because it is obviously the last Friday of Ramadan, last Jummah of this Ramadan, and remembering in January when I was on my honeymoon with my wife, went to the Maldives, and there's a small island. It's called Mafushi.
Yeah.
Right.
Mafushi.
Yeah. There's nothing on the island. The island's name is Mafushi, right? And it's about a 1 kilometer stretch of island, just beach and you know, sand.
Place to be,
followed by water. It's a place to be.
That's where you want to be on lockdown. In there, on that 1 kilometer strip.
I hope there's sand on the beach.
And just in that 1 kilometer strip alone, they've got about I think 3 or 4 musallas.
Oh,
just in that 1 kilometer strip.
So fishy.
So there's something.
But it was a lot, mashallah, in that 1 kilometer strip.
It was Jummah, Friday, and for some reason I woke up. I thought I'd be holy that week. And I decided to go to Jummah.
Good on
you.
You
hear that, Adan, in the island, subhanAllah, from the hotel. So I walked down to the Jummah. I don't know what I was expecting, to be honest with you. I walked in, nice musalla. It's a decent sized musalla given the size of the island. And I get in, pray my 2, you know, sunnah prayer, tahiyyat al masjid, just walked into the masjid. And then Adan goes off, and the imam, he walks up on the minbar. And then he starts, you know, inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. He does his introduction. And then from that point on, he started speaking in Maldivian.
Maldivian, yep.
And I'll tell you right now, this was the longest khutbah I've ever been to in my life. About 45 minutes straight of Maldivian. I don't know what.
Actually the language?
I don't know what the language is. I see they speak some dialect of Indian or so. For about 45 minutes straight. And I'm the only guy there. I'm looking around. Everyone else is in tune with the lecture. And I'm just, you know, looking up at the sky, counting the minutes down, waiting for the lecture to finish, subhanAllah. But I think for me, that was kind of like it's a good cultural shock. You know what I mean? SubhanAllah, it doesn't matter which part of the earth you're in. You know, there's some people there, a group of people worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their own language, you know, in their own...
in the house of Allah.
In the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. It's a bit of an eye-opener, a funny story at the same time.
And we were all deprived of, not the worship, but worshipping in the house of Allah this Ramadan.
Exactly.
I actually didn't mind it. Like, I love the masjid. It actually, not having it this year showed me the amount of brotherhood that the masjid provides, the community. You see the brothers all the time. So I'm like, you actually enjoy it. You go, you see a familiar face, have a good chat after Isha, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And everyone heads on their way. You meet up for soccer on the weekend, whatever it may be. But we're deprived of that. But for me, I think, like, this Ramadan was good in the sense that I didn't have the brotherhood. I was able to isolate myself. Still had friends coming over every now and again for Taraweeh and so on and so forth. But majority of the time, you were at home doing your own ibadah. You were doing Taraweeh. I was doing it with my family. Whereas pre-corona, so to speak, I would have been, unfortunately, being of the type, I would go to the masjid, pray Taraweeh, and then afterwards kick back a bit, you know, maybe go for a feed with friends.
Look around a bit.
Yeah, which in itself isn't a bad thing, but it was it ended at that for the night. Here, I'll pray my Taraweeh at home. We'd do our own, like, khatam or our own qara'ah amongst the family. We'd actually bond as a family as well, much more than we would in the past. Like, alhamdulillah, my family's quite close-knit anyways, but it allowed us to just sit and chat and relax, and we were worshipping Allah together as opposed to having the hundreds of people at the masjid as well. It's like there's pros and cons.
Yeah.
Pros and cons. I don't know if you guys experienced something similar.
And for me, you realize how, like, luxurious we live in, especially in Sydney when there's so many musallas. Like, for me personally, I like to do every Ramadan, go to a couple of musallas and get a different experience here and there. And, like, what I honestly don't think 30 days, I reckon you can pray 30 days at a different mosque and still not complete all the musallas in Sydney.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it was just like, now to be stuck with nothing, and it's like the only option is like home or home. And it's like, wow, for me, it hit. You know, like, subhanAllah, we had these blessings that we never really appreciated at all.
Yeah, we used to do that. Like, I remember before you got married, and then we used to go, like, to a masjid, a different masjid every night. And we'd try to see the different Qura'at, whoever was leading. You know, there's, mashallah, there's a lot of Qura'at across Sydney, like people that lead, and their voices are nice. We used to masjid hop, so to speak, every now and again. But we didn't have that opportunity. This time was, like, a bit of house hopping. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, Said? Not for me. I know it sounds strange and everything. Like, I'm probably the worst one out of here when it comes to Quran and whatnot. No. But I actually think it was probably one of my best Ramadan so far. Probably the top three as of now. You know, because my Quran is not that great, I actually spent my time reflecting a lot about a lot of things. Like, not just about myself, but how I could get closer with my family, how I could get closer with my friends, how I can, you know, take my studies further, whether it's Islam or, you know, history or whatever it may be. And like, you know, in the fifth day of Ramadan, there was a turning point where I sort of did lose my cool. I sort of did just, you know, blow up. And I was actually very upset with myself on that day, on that night. I actually just went into my room and, you know, just opened up a little bit. I did actually cry. I'm like, you know what? It's the fifth day of Ramadan and I've already lost my patience. And then I obviously, whoever I lost my cool with, I apologized to them, made up with them, etc., whatever it may be. And after that, alhamdulillah, I just found myself to be very, very calm, like very, very relaxed throughout Ramadan, not really stressing about anything. And, you know, I did rely heavily on the masjid, especially during i'tikaf, obviously. You know, I do miss that brotherhood amongst those guys specifically. But I do, like as Adnan was saying before, inshallah, you know, I was very consistent with my Ramadan beforehand, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still rewarding me for not going to the masjid, even like, you know, for the person that reads Quran every single day, and they, for example, they get sick and they can't read Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to reward them with those days.
Yeah, we were saying prior that, like, imagine subhanAllah thinking that someone that had good deeds before coronavirus hit, let's say, and they were doing
like a consistent deed, you mean?
Deed, and then now that the coronavirus has prevented them from doing so, Islamically that still be rewarded as if they were doing such for not, and not even needing to do that act in itself. So all those prior that used to do i'tikaf, or at least had the intention to do i'tikaf this year, would have been rewarded, you know?
I actually have a big regret about that, which sort of, I'll get to it, but the regret was, I had someone, a mentor of mine, a close mentor of mine, even though I haven't had a chat with them in a while, they were pushing me to go to Hajj. They liked me, you're a young, single guy, okay, now you're not at uni anymore, so like, you don't have to commit to, but you're at work. I'm new to the workforce, like a full-time workforce, but he's like, so what, go to Hajj, even if you have to take non-paid leave. And I was hesitant, okay, and I actually, he told me that it's a fard on you. Now that you're able to go, you have to go. And I know that. But I consulted with a sheikh. He said it's fard wasi'ah. Let's not get into that. But ultimately, I decided that I wasn't going to go this year. Okay? And what did that lead to? You know, as we know, the actions are
judged by the intentions.
Thank you, Adnan. So, if I had wholeheartedly committed and intended to go to Hajj this year, and subhanAllah, like the circumstance that I allow it, Allah alam, through Allah's, you know, blessing and His grace, I would have been rewarded for a Hajj, and I would not have even had to go. And that's one of my regrets, not having seized the opportunity to capitalize on my reward pre-corona, and now having I'm at loss. So for someone, for instance, who wasn't a regular at the masjid, Allah alam, wouldn't receive the reward as if they were going, as opposed to someone who was a regular at the masjid, and now because of circumstance they're not allowed to go, the latter would actually receive the reward. So I actually missed out. So I guess what you can take from that was, like, seize the opportunity when it comes. Yeah. That was...
In regards to Hajj, you hear, I know I'm probably taking the mic time too much, but in regards to Hajj, you hear a lot, and you don't think about it. That's one thing specific. I remember that I was listening to a lecture online, and he was saying that, like, Hajj is a very big obligation, and a lot of times we neglect it and how big of an obligation it is, and we push it back a year or two or three, but we don't realize the blessing we have in Australia to go to Hajj. Yes, it's a huge amount of money, no worries, but take it as, have your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and once you have that amount of money, go. You know, he's like, he gave, we won't mention countries now, but he gave many examples saying, imagine people living in countries and then that year the war broke out and they're no longer allowed to leave the country anymore, you know? Passports not recognized in other countries, or the country just hits a huge financial crisis and their dollar is worth nothing overseas. You know, imagine if someone was to keep pushing them, their hajj back a year, two, three, and then that was to hit. You know, subhanAllah, like, inshallah, they get rewarded for their intention, but it's a huge thing to do, you know, to get it off that checklist, because at the end of the day, it is fard. And if we had the opportunity to go and we didn't go, Allah alam, it could be questioned. Like, even, for example, when I went to, sorry, Abdul, I know you're going to speak.
What made you?
You had your hand up.
I was fixing the mic.
Okay, I was baiting
out. I did want to speak, but keep going.
Like, people in Indonesia, I know, the way they work, plus minus, I'm not exactly sure on the points, but they basically similar to us, save their super so that when they hit 65, the government allows them to go Hajj. They're not allowed to go until they hit, I don't know if it's 65 or a larger age. So that's why when you go to Umrah, when my parents told me to go Hajj, they don't see many young people from many countries. They only see young people from the European countries, you know, and from like us first world countries.
So my auntie has been applying in Iraq for like 10 years, 20 years, and they just, Iraq doesn't approve them because they oppress the Sunnis, of course. But you don't need to dump that. Regardless, but she hasn't been accepted to go for like the past 10, 20 years or so.
Yeah.
But we're here. Oh, yeah, I'll go next year. I'll go maybe 2 years' time, whenever I feel like it. Yeah.
But on that note, especially with a lot of us younger guys, the first excuse is usually, you know, I don't have the money. You know, I don't have the financial means.
Yeah.
Because obviously our health is there, alhamdulillah, most of us. The health side of things is okay for us, but a lot of time financial is the excuse. A lot of people have given me this advice, and it's come from their own experience, you know. Mm. They say as soon as you make the intention, and they've said the same for Umrah, Hajj, and I guess it applies to other actions as well, but as soon as you make that intention, that you say, you know what, this is the year, I'm going to do it, I'm going to save up, I'm going to go to Hajj. And as soon as you make that, you know, mental intention with yourself, and then you start putting in the efforts, subhanAllah, you know, the money comes from places, you know, you would have never been able to predict or imagine, you know what I mean? So, you know, a lot of the time, sometimes we just need that push, you know, make the intention, go full steam forward, you know, full steam ahead, as they say, and then subhanAllah, sometimes, you know, it just works out for you.
I heard that from many people, even though I can't contemplate that right now, but that they basically spent all their savings on Hajj, took that leap of faith, and he swears by Allah, he came back and he made every cent back from that money in within 2 months.
Hmm.
You know, and he's my age. He's like, wallah, I did not come from work. You know, like, how much can a person our age work to earn? And he took his wife to earn about, what, $25,000 back?
If you're lucky. 2 months as well.
Yeah, he says, wallah, he got every cent back. He's like, I don't know how it happened, but every cent I spent came back to the account.
Allahu Akbar.
Well, it's not something small.
But just on the i'tikaf note, for anyone doesn't know Sayyid, he's the guy that's in the back room of the masjid, of the musalla in i'tikaf. He's got his own camping gear.
He's actually the only one that brings one blanket, not even a pillow. I'm the humble guy.
He's got his own thermals. He's got his own thermals and esky, a fridge in the back. He's got it all. Next Ramadan, find out where Sayyid's going and just be there.
Campfire. Bring s'mores to face to be. Yeah, but on that, just to draw from it, the intention, as Abdul was saying, use it in every action. Just make that intention. So I guess coming now to the end of Ramadan, what's everyone's intention leaving Ramadan? Mm. And most likely leaving the corona, the whole restrictions that we're having.
Yeah. For me, one, Ramadan, leading prank tarawih at home, I learned two things, you know, like, subhanAllah, how the shaitan works. Like, you guys have families, it's different. For me and Abdul, we're newlyweds. Like, don't let the shaitan get in between you guys where you start praying tarawih alone. Like, between you, your spouse, your family, stuff like that. Like, you're much better and you motivate each other more when you're praying tarawih together. Like, yesterday I was invited to Ahmed's house. There was less than 5 people. Sorry, Mazen, if you didn't come here. And we prayed tarawih there, and it really motivated me and pushed me. You know, sometimes, let's say you were to pray at home and you were to get lazy, like, oh, it's only sunnah, so I'll pray 6 instead of 8, or I'll pray 2, or I'll go to sleep, wake up and pray, and next thing you know, it's fajr, you know? Like, it taught me to honestly work as a group, you know, and work together. And as well, it taught me how much Quran I had forgotten and gotten jumbled, you know, like even yesterday, the day before when I was reading, you know, like, Inna Allah la yahdi al-qawmal, and then I'm like, what is it, dhalimin, fasiqin, you know, they both sound right, but what is it, you know, you got to improve your recitation so we're not making mistakes, you know, and jumping from one surah to the next, I think I jumped from like one surah to three surahs down because it had the same ayah, you know, and just continued as if nothing happened. And I'm like, how did I get here? You know?
He sends something, my spidey senses are tingling. Something's wrong.
And he can't stop. Do I stop? Do I pause? What do you do?
Saeed, what about you?
What was the question?
What's your intention, I guess, leaving Ramadan?
Look, just regarding intention, I think people sort of brush it off. Like, what is intention? Like, it's not something, like, a lot of people don't see it as something big, but as Abdul said, you know, like, as long as you make that intention, you know, things start to fall into place. For me, I think I'm actually going to keep that element of reflection. You know, it's something that I don't really do, like, lately especially. You know, just take, like, 30 minutes out of my day and just think about, like, what I have done with my day. Did I wrong someone? Do I need to do something better? Just those things specifically. And, you know, just obviously with my Quran, I, inshallah, like, just before, like, this whole coronavirus hit and everything, I was actually doing, like, full tajweed classes. And obviously that sort of got put on hold. But inshallah, as soon as Ramadan finishes, inshallah, I wish to keep that going once again and hopefully lead my own tarawih at home instead of relying on others.
Yeah, good on you. You, like, what, like, so you've got an action plan?
Yeah, just starting to write down some things for the.
That's what I have. No, that's what I need to do. I have.
Before I interrupt you,
sorry.
Man,
as you've been doing all day every day.
Sorry, I'm like, you guys are bringing up a lot of points. Said what he said was actually a huge thing, and it's, I think it's a sunnah to do before we sleep every night to think about what we did in a day. You know, not being robotic and we're living in this like rat race sort of thing. Okay, who did I oppress? What did I do today? What can I fix? You know, it's not something to be taken small. I don't know what hadith or what narration was of a companion doing that every night.
And he enters continue.
Yeah, some, I remember those lines where companion stepped over another companion's house and he's saying,
oh, the Prophet said he's from the people of Jannah. And then the companion asked him and he
stepped at his house for like, I think, 3 nights to see what he does different.
Didn't
to
fast, gather knowledge. Yeah. Didn't pray extra, didn't do like much of the extra stuff. Allah Alam, obviously double check this. And
and then what the narration was off the top of my memory was that before he used to sleep, he used to see and he used to do exactly what Usaid used to say, what said, like think about, ponder to himself, who did he oppress, who did he take the rights of, what can he, like, who did he upset, what if he got angry, you know, he used to do a lot of self reflection on himself that day.
That's the main thing. He used to forgive. He left he slept that night with like a clean slate, so to speak, in terms of his interactions with people. But yeah, for me, in terms of moving forward, I haven't done what Said's done yet, write it down, but my plan was, I've been thinking about it personally, was what extra two rukun am I going to add to my daily cycle. Okay, obviously the intention part and the sweetness of tasting it and the, how do I say it, I'm lost for words, but like
the blessings behind it.
Yeah, not the blessings behind it. Let's get back to that if I remember. But like, I'm going to go through my daily routine. All right, what do I do every day? Do I go to the mosque if I don't go to the mosque? Do I pray my sunnah rawatiba? Do I not? Do I pray salat al-duha? Do I not? Obviously, personally reflecting on what I do or don't do. My adhkar al-sabah and adhkar al-masa', how much of it do I do? What can I add to it? So I'm going to literally say add two rukun sunnah somewhere. Or maybe four rukun sunnah somewhere in my day. My daily. This is daily now. And then maybe add one adhkar al-sabah and adhkar al-masa'. Okay. Now this is daily. My perspective on it is, if I add one little thing this year, and then inshallah, down the line, maybe Allah, in another 3 months, I might add another thing. You don't know for now. But for now, I plan to add one or two little things to each daily schedule of my life. Daily like activity of my life. And then next Ramadan, if I do the same thing and then same thing, so on and so forth, by 5 years or a couple of years from now, you'll be doing a lot. That's my outlook on how I'm going to leave this Ramadan. So I've got a couple of things I have in mind of things I want to do. I want to start incorporating Salat al-Duha. I want to add Adhkar al-Sabah and an Adhkar al-Masa', amongst other things. So my approach to it was break down my day and add, slot in something here, slotting maybe sounds like it's on the back burner, but add to it. Increase some way, one way or the other. In everything. Try and do it in everything that I'm doing. I don't know. What are you doing, Abdul?
A couple things probably strike me at first, similar to what you were saying. You know, I think the question I asked myself to Ramadan is, you know, I'm fasting during the days, or I'm praying those extra prayers during the days or during the nights. That the key question is, you know, why can't I do those same things outside of Ramadan? It's such a simple question, you know, a simple idea. Just you transfer what you've been doing so well for 30 days in this month. You know, how do you transfer that onto the remainder of the 11 months before you reach the next Ramadan? And I think personally for me, and a lot of other people might feel the same way, is that, you know, you feel yourself, you know, going strong during Ramadan. You pick up the pace as the days go on. And then the pace continues a few days, a few weeks after Ramadan. But then naturally, you know, as human beings, we start to what? We start to slack off, essentially, right? And I guess that's from our own faults, you know, a lack of consistency. But the question I ask myself this Ramadan is, you know, the fasting that I'm doing, it doesn't have to be every day, obviously, right? You know, how do I continue the fasting outside of Ramadan? The night prayer, you know, how do I continue that night prayer? It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be every week. It could be once a month.
Doesn't even need to be eight rukur.
Yeah, exactly. It could be two rak'ahs once a month. You know what I mean? That you do for consistent 11 months until next Ramadan. So that, you know, next Ramadan comes and you're not picking up the slack of the last 11 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, I find that with me, you know, a lot of the time, you know, the first few days of Ramadan is just there for me to pick up the slack of the previous 11 months. You know what I mean? But if I, you know, get on the front foot straight away, then come Ramadan time, I'm ready to go. You know, that's my personal reflection. And then the second point I'd say is, you know, as we were saying before, the local masajid, you know, the, you know, how much of a role they play in our lives for all of us, you know. Whether we go there once a week for Jummah, whether we go there every day, five prayers a day, one prayer a day, you know, all of us, you know, without a doubt, use the masjid for one reason or another. It could be a, you know, aqiqah that you hold for your son. You have your walima there. You know what I mean? That those sort of things, you know, the masajid, we use them and we take them for granted. You know, don't be afraid to give to the masajid. Give your sadaqah to the masajid, you know. Spend as much time as you can. You know, put your time and efforts into your, you know, your local masjid. Just so, you know, the community can benefit from that. Exactly. You're giving back to what we now realize has such an important role in our lives.
That's so true. I didn't think of it like that. But this thing that we're all like, wow, I took it for granted. Are we just saying it? Or are we going to support? We're going to support it and getting back on track? Because I know a lot of the masjids are actually fundraising because they're like,
they got to pay the bills.
They had a whole month of no one coming in. They still have rent to pay if, you know, they're not earned. They still have electricity and gas and water, whatever it may be. But it's not being used as much, but there's still bills to pay. There's still council fees and everything.
No.
So we got to, that's so true. That's actually a very good point. That's why we invite you, bro. See you, bro. Next week, bro. Exactly. You're back, Mazen. Gonskis.
Next week or next Ramadan?
Inshallah. We'll in the talks, man. In the talks. Download. On the download. Scrap that.
Now, we're thinking of inshallah as well, making something consistent out of this.
Inshallah. Yeah, we should. Otherwise, it's bad. We've been saying, let's get something consistent for a while. Right. I think now this is the inshallah.
It's a chance to go for it.
Inshallah. Yeah. So, Adonis, tell us.
Well, how much of the role has the mosque played in your life? Like, I'm just thinking now, what Abdul Salam was saying, like, I think a lot of us do our walimas there. We do our akikos there.
Get big tabs.
Yeah.
A whole lot. I met a lot of my good friends through there, you know?
That's right, yeah.
Shout out to the personal mechanic. We met him through there. met a lot of brothers. Our weekly soccer... His dad organized weekly soccer. Abdul comes as well sometimes.
No.
We meet a lot of the good brothers.
Said says he's going to come, but he doesn't come. He's consistently inconsistent.
Not going for the last 4 years.
Consistently inconsistent.
But like, that's a good Saturday night. You're not committing haram. You're actually doing good.
Yeah.
You're getting together with brothers. We have a reminder in the middle. Yeah. Like, that's all through the masjid. We do our monthly hikes, even though I haven't gone in quite a while. But the hikes we used to do, remember that? We used to go. There's a lot of things that I've benefited, other than the salah time, other than and the lectures and all that, good barbecues, good feeds. This is all dunyawi stuff, right, that I've benefited from, right? Your feeds, your friendships, your communities, your soccer, whatever it may be, the competitions they have. They always have competitions across the masajid where you have an Oztag competition, soccer competition. There's some of the ways I've benefited from, other than like going there and praying and learning and doing Quran and Arabic, whatever studies we do at our local masjids. Don't you? You've been part of it with me. You're the one that introduced me to a lot of it.
No, I agree 100%. And I think one point that's sticking on my mind is the friendships that you're speaking about, and just pondering over, subhanAllah, like the different. Just put it in your head, like the different
types of friendship.
No, no, the different, let's say the different person you think you would have became if you had different friends. You know, like, do you sometimes imagine thinking, okay, you had a different set of friends? Because we know the Arabic saying, like, show me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are, you know? And I think, like, all our parents, as we get older, we say our parents are always bang on right, you know? Let's say, like, as you grow up, your parents try to nicely recommend you not to hang out with this kid or this person. And you look back at it, like, at the time, you were naive not to realize what your parents were looking at. Oh, Baba, you don't know what you're talking about, you know? This and that. Ahmed's looking at me, he's like, did my dad say that about you? yeah, and imagine that. I was just thinking now, imagine what your life would be like if you had different friendships, like circles.
Uzi can start off.
Well, start like, where do I begin?
Just give him the mic.
Should we leave? Should we leave?
Just on that point, I guess, I actually did write a Facebook post recently regarding about the friends that I had in school. It sounds strange, but I was sort of upset, even though it was my choice to, you know, I didn't keep contact with anyone, any of them, not a single one. You know, I do consider myself like one of the popular people that were at school.
Oh,
you know,
self-proclaimed. Self-proclaimed, or did someone,
you know,
give
like
you that title?
You should just sit at the bench and everyone comes to just, that's me, bro.
You mean throwing CDs?
You were on the bench because there was no hat, no play, bro.
Parents couldn't afford your hat. Went to a private school. No, alhamdulillah, I did have a lot of friends at school. And, you know, as soon as I left school, something clicked that I didn't want to stay with this group. Obviously, like, some of the stuff that they were getting up to, you know, weren't the best, and I was sort of involved in it, et cetera, whatever it may be. But then now I do realize that, you know, we sort of did waste our school time, you know, school friendships. You know, people always say, oh, kids are kids, you know, 14, 15-year-olds. But, you know, like, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a 14, 15-year-old is not a child anymore. You know, someone that's held accountable. If he's at that age of puberty or whatever it may be, you can't call him a child. So, you know, we used to fight amongst each other. We used to swear at each other. We used to, you know...
That's true. As young guys, you know...
Don't get into further details.
Yeah.
We used to sin.
Yeah, like, when you think about it, Annie, you're fighting against another Muslim brother. Think of it that way. Like, you know, you're laying your fists on someone's face. For what reason? With honesty, like, what reason is justified at school? Like, you can't come up with anything.
He said something about my mum, sir.
Yeah, it's something like that. And with honesty, like, and then you go look at that kid. He's like, all right, what did you do to him? Well, I took his stuff. He's like, and it's just like a little, like, domino effect. But moving on, I did actually make the Facebook post, you know, asking those people to, you know, forgive me if I did anything wrong to them. And if like, forgiveness is not enough, then, you know, just get in contact with me and we'll work something out, whether it's like, you know, you want to speak about something that I've done or that you've done or whatever it may be. And I actually want to extend that friendship that I formed in the masjids and amongst you guys to them. You know, why should I, you know, keep this friendship to myself? Why should I not like extend
why
that?
Deprive them?
Yeah, deprive them. Point. You know, yeah. One of my friends, may Allah reward him, from school, you know, over the years he comes and goes. He does message me here and there, and, you know, he did open up on social media yesterday that he's suffering from depression. And I know that he's been suffering from since school, you know, since he was 15, 16 years old. I remember I used to speak to him here and there, and yesterday he made it, like, pretty public that he was suffering from depression and how it's, you know, played a big role in his life, and he is sort of still going through some things. You know, just, I always wonder, you know, if I sort of stayed around, would that have stayed the same? Would I have been affected by his thoughts, by his feelings or his emotions or whatever it may be? Or would I have benefited him in any way? You know, that's the sort of things that I think about. You know, I see a lot of the boys get up to outside of school now, you know, clubbing, you know, haram relationships or whatever it may be. And I don't judge them. But I am very upset that, you know, one, those are people that I used to call friends. You know, we used to say that, you know, we'll stay as friends for the rest of our lives, etc., whatever it may be. And then as soon as school finished, just everything frizzled away. So I do wish the best for them, genuinely. Like, I genuinely wish that, you know, things change in their lives. And I know a lot of them have that love for Islam. You know, they may post a few things that are wrong, but every now and then they'll post something that did hit him hard. You know, it might be a...
That shows their faith. You know,
yeah, still it shows their faith. It shows that there's still something there, that they're yearning for something, but they don't know where to get it from. And alhamdulillah, I think, look, us four or other people out there right now, we should be very, very grateful that we have this. You know, we were yearning for something. Alhamdulillah, we're not on the street confused. You know, we're not sitting in our homes confused. Of course, there are things that may confuse us, but our identity has sort of, you know, starting to send in, like, send in stone.
Yeah.
I think you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you steadfast, you know, as well.
You know, yeah, you keep,
image,
yeah,
I mean, it's
so important. So, you know, in terms of friendships, I don't know where I would be, and I don't know where my friends would have been if I stayed along. I don't know who would have affected who in that situation. I think that's the big thing.
It's usually the bad apple that turns the rest bad, eh?
Not necessarily, like...
Well, I think more often than not it is.
A lot of the time.
Especially if you're the minority.
But then it also depends on your own character. Are you the person that has that strong character in that group that can pull those people away? Are you that person that, you know, people come up to and do ask about Islam, or do ask about, look, I am going through some problems at home, you know, like I want to speak to someone. Are you that person that those people rely on? And if you are, you know, take it to the next level. You know, stop getting them to contact you when things are going wrong in their lives. You know, you start getting in contact with them.
Be proactive about it.
Be proactive. And not just about checking up on them. Don't always make it seem like their life is, that's it, your life is ruined. I'm just checking up on you to see that you haven't killed yourself. Don't make it seem like that. You know, get in contact with him to call him to places of good. Hey, you want to hang out? You want to go grab a feed or whatever? Maybe it's just something small. You know, I know a few brothers that are, that one are reverts and have been reverts for about 10, 15 years. And they don't get invited anywhere, whether it's for Ramadan, whether it's out with their supposed friends that, you know, they say, oh, Allah, like they're on Facebook, they say, brother, I will die for you. You know, you're my brother in Islam. But when it comes down to an invite, it's never there. You know, I know there are a lot of people out there that need that friendship, but may Allah grant it to them. And
I mean, on that topic, I can remember, you know, personally myself, you know, some low points in my life, for example, you know, sometimes all it took was for somebody to reach out and say, hey, do you want to, you know, go out for a quick feed or catch up? And it takes a couple of, you know, take an hour or so.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then just that, you know, little meeting, for example, whatever it might be, half an hour, an hour or so, you know, it changes your perspective on things.
Changes your spirit.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we're clouded, you know, yeah. Happens to all of us. You know, sometimes, you know, your thoughts get clouded, your ideas get clouded. Sometimes you need, you know, it's hard to come from yourself sometimes, you know. It helps when there's a third party involved, someone else involved.
That gives you that push.
Extra push, a little change in perspective, you know. And
the tilt.
It gives you that will to keep going, sort of thing.
I think that issue is like, when you look at the last 30 years or 40 years, like this whole new concept of individuality, you know, people just, you know, I don't owe you anything.
Yeah.
That sort of mentality. I don't owe you anything. It's like, no, but in Islam, you sort of do. You know, if I give you salams, you give me salams. Even if you hate me. You know, if I'm sick, you come and visit me. Even if you hate me. If I die, you come to my janazah. Even if you hate me. You know, if you do those things for the person that you supposedly hate or have disagreements with, what are you meant to be doing with the person that you supposedly love? That you supposedly call your best self, that you call them a best friend or whatever it may be. You know, when you... introduce the concept of ihsan and loving something for someone that you love for yourself, you know, you should be doing a lot more than that. A lot more than just salams or hi bye or whatever it may be. But yeah, if anyone wants to add in anything.
Mezen Karush has contacted us on Facebook, and I forgot
he
to
can't
say
get
in the morning.
He can't get enough of this.
In the beginning, so if you guys want to say anything, any comments or add anything, feel free to add on to our Facebook page on Unbound Radio. Mezen Karush said, "How do you?" I think this was 12 minutes before, 12 minutes ago, before Seth was talking, when you were on the other topic, saying, "How do we prevent ourselves from stopping those things between one Ramadan to the next to avoid the job that I think you were talking about?" Picking up the slack.
Does anyone want to chime in? Because I think it's personally something I'm still trying to develop myself.
Well, I think it's natural. One, you gotta know that. Like, Ramadan wouldn't be Ramadan if you didn't have a high.
Mm.
right? The shaitans are locked up.
I guess the goal is to have less of a drop off than
that's
we
right.
do.
That's the right. But also, you got to accept that you're not going to have a Ramadan 12 months of the year.
No.
Right? You got to come to terms with reality. That's point one. How do you prevent having excessive drop offs? Is that what Mazen's asking ultimately?
Yeah. I assume that he is, yeah.
For me, I'm brainstorming just in my head. It's probably one thing that you can do is don't bite off more than you can chew after Ramadan. Don't say after Ramadan you're going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and kill yourself. Like, right? Like, for example, let's say these last 10 nights we're pushing ourselves to the limit, right?
Yeah.
And we're trying to squeeze in these hours. For me, trying to squeeze in the hours of sleep to be sufficient enough and to be aware enough for the next day, to know, you know, to be energized. And then the same thing for at night, you know, and I'm balancing myself now. And I can see, let's say I was to continue this for the next month or two, I'd certainly burn out, you know. It's either throwing everything in the bin and get rest, or, I don't know, like, you know, collapse. So be realistic and give yourself the, what's the right terminology? Give yourself the right needs that you want.
The
and
right dose.
Yeah, dosage. And don't bite off more than
dosage.
You can chew.
Dosage is a good word. That's dosage.
Yeah.
That's why I said, I'm writing a list, I'm checking it twice. And then I'm just going to add one thing. Why are you guys laughing? Don't laugh.
I see the T's and dotting the I's.
Yeah, I'm just, like I said, I'm writing a list. And then I'm going to go through my daily schedule and just add one thing, like literally one or two things in each component.
Yeah.
Because I know myself. If I tell myself I'm going to read 10 pages or say an example, I'm going to read the juz' a day. Okay? Which I know some of my friends do, you know. But if I tell myself I'm going to read a juz' a day or two juz' a day, from now till the next Ramadan, I most likely will drop off.
Yeah.
Okay? I set myself a realistic goal on adding to what I'm already doing. I'm not going to just stay doing what I did pre-Ramadan. I need to add. And in 4 years' time, I would have added so much, inshallah, or 5 years' time, I would have added so much that you're like, wow, what the hell? I'm doing this all in my day. But to you, it's come normal. It's normalized. Mm. After doing that one little thing for 3 months, after Ramadan, it's normalized. Right? They say it takes 30 days to develop a habit. Do it for another month outside of Ramadan. You've developed a habit. And then it's like light work to you.
Mm.
It's, you don't even realize that it's just part of your daily schedule.
Yeah. If you're not moving forward, you're generally moving backwards.
Yeah.
So you got to keep.
But even if you're moving forward slowly,
yeah,
right? Exactly. Small steps are better than no steps.
No, of course, like moving forward slowly is much is.
What you don't want to stay stagnant because then you start.
What we want,
back.
Yeah, stagnant is moving back. Like, if you just one example off the top of my head, if you stay stagnant in your worship, let's say, is it right then? If you're saying stagnant in worship, would you start to forget Quran or not really?
Look, I think maybe a good example is if you're doing your fara'id only, then you risk the chance of losing your fara'id.
Mm.
If you're doing your fara'id and sunnah and prayers, you know, you
it's risk a shield chance. For you.
Yeah, it's a shield from, you know, forgetting about the fara'id and so on and so forth, essentially. So you got to always have that safety net, I guess, with all your ibadat. You know, if you're doing the non-obligatory fasts throughout the rest of the year, and you don't risk as much of a chance of, you know, neglecting your fasting during Ramadan. When we say fasting, we obviously mean, you know, abstaining from sins, not just the food and the water.
Mm. It's like a defense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One main thing for me would be writing a list because I tend to forget everything. That's how
I know
say.
You've got like notes and he's got Android notes on his phone, but it's good. It's actually good. He writes down everything, makes a checklist of things he needs to do. Yeah. He's got a to-do list, but that's good. That's actually a good habit. Like Mazen even said he
for
does.
For me, what works is I like to have a calendar.
Yeah.
And I like jotting certain days, certain goals, certain objectives. You know what I mean? So you might circle, for example, one day out of every month that you want to fast outside of Ramadan. You know? Set the bar for yourself, you know, based on who you are and you know yourself, you know, set the bar for yourself. So if I know that, you know, one extra fast a month from now till next Ramadan is a realistic goal for me, then I'll set that goal. I'll circle that day in the calendar and I'll tell myself I'm going to fast that day. 13th.
You're mentally prepping throughout the rest
so you know,
of the month, actually.
Yeah, you know, once it comes to that day, I'm ready to fast. It's not did I fast this month, did I not?
Yeah.
You know, you've got it. You know, jot it down.
It's like study. Even when we went to uni, like I found that was the most benefit. You know, like getting visual with my schedule and saying, okay, what exam do I have? What assignment do I have? Otherwise, you're gonna if you're not on top of it one way or another, you're going to be like losing your, what's the word? You'll be doing the wrong assignments at the wrong time. You know, you have one assignment during 2 months and one during tomorrow, and you'll be doing,
you're going to lose direction.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think writing at least makes you maintain a direction, keeps you consistent in what you want
to
do.
Going back to, if you don't mind, Adnan, what Usaid was saying before about, you know, Ihsan and having Ihsan between, you know, amongst one another. One of our beloved Mashaykh was telling us the other day, he was saying that, you know, to reach the level of Ihsan is that you're doing something solely for the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to put it into perspective, for example, is that, you know, I help Usaid out in one way or another. You know, I offer him assistance, I offer him a ride home, I offer him, you know, some financial help, whatever it might be. Deep down, he might say, you know, thank you, Jazakallah khairan, he might pay me back. But at the end of the day, within myself, I understand that, you know, even if Usaid doesn't even say thank you, you know, doesn't even look back or at that act, or doesn't even acknowledge that act, then I'm satisfied because I know that my reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, my reward isn't with Usaid or with Ahmed or Adnan, you know, the person that I did that favor for. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the ihsan comes from knowing that this act of goodwill, you know, this good act, is solely to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not to gain a thank you, jazakallah khairan, gain some money back, you know, make some profit off it. It's not about that. And I think that's the level that, you know, that's a standard that we should set amongst each other. You know, help your brothers out, your sisters out. You know,
That's hard.
It is.
I think, sorry, for me, the hardest part, which I forgot to ask the Sheikh himself when we were there, but I think people should have a standard of at least being grateful. No. The Sheikh did clarify that. He did say, man la yashkur an-nas la yashkur Allah. The one that doesn't, if I said the, correct, I think the kasras and the fathas, I said wrong. But whoever doesn't thank the people doesn't thank Allah. That's the highest level. Don't expect even a thanks.
Yeah.
But the person should, the receiving end should also be,
of course, yeah.
But don't forget, ihsan is the highest level. It's not iman, it's ihsan.
Yeah, I'm not saying,
he's saying the recipient.
Of course, but like,
should have should also be aiming to be better.
Yeah.
But for sure, I've in my mind now, I've put, after that talk, that was like 2 nights ago, right? He said it. I was like, okay, inshallah, from now on, I'm not going to expect any jazakallah khairan from anyone.
Yeah.
It'd be nice, right? But I'm not going to expect it. It's hard. But I've already, that's actually one of the things I've put for myself moving forward. I'm not expecting a thank you, a jazakallah khairan, money back, an invite back, a gift back, or anything.
Yeah.
If I can, wallah alam, make, inshallah, Allah keeps us steadfast.
At the end of the day, it's difficult because it's against our nature, you know, as humans. You always expect that sense of appreciation in one way or another, you know what I mean? It's in our nature. And that's, I think that's what makes it the hardest part, because it's within you, you know what I mean? It's in your nature to, you know, want something, any recognition back. That's how we are, you know?
No, 100%. Even like on the contrary, when you on the flip side, like if someone oppresses you and stuff like that, to be, maybe not, I don't know, in hadith or stuff like that, but an ihsan would be to forgive him, to overlook, because in that state of mind, when you're in such an angry state of mind, you don't want to forgive him.
Yeah.
You know, like, and to forgive him is a huge thing. You know, it's not something small, because you hear many stories, you know, people ignoring each other for the rest of their life, sisters, in-laws, you know, you always hear those common stories, or even brothers, you know, blood brothers, and ignoring for the rest of their life over something that could have just had ego involved, you know, just overlook that ego and say, khalas, like, you know, we're going to put it apart, and that's it.
Khair. So, before we move on, I think we're...
Amir was asking...
No, go.
Amir was asking, what is one thing you would recommend to people who didn't have a good Ramadan, i.e. to get back on track?
Said, chime in.
Well, I think it's just, if you add both of those questions together, I think people need to keep two things in mind. One, obviously, Ramadan is... It has its own aura. It is special within itself. So don't expect that you're going to keep that motivation in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan. But in saying that, you know, don't wait for Ramadan to sort of pick up new habits.
Change your life.
You know, you have 11 months of the year. You know, no one's asking you to pick up amazing habits in those 11 months. You know,
11 other months.
Yeah. Like,
not 11 months in the year.
No, yeah.
Thanks, Abdul. Always that guy.
Right. It's like no one understands.
But you do have 11 months in a year.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, we're going by Luna or what, bro?
Next topic.
No, that's
not Luna.
Oh, then what?
You do it necessarily have 11 months in the year, as you have 1 month.
Say the same things.
You're not wrong.
We have 12 Luna months.
Anyways,
bro.
Going.
That tree is 2 centimeters tall. At least 2 centimeters tall.
How'd you manage 11 Luna
Can
months?
Can we go back to the topic?
We're not made for this, bro. We're just too much.
No, but stuff like that. You know, people who think that, oh, look, Ramadan's coming up in 2 months. They don't think that, you know, let me prepare for Ramadan coming up in 2 months. They're like, all right, when Ramadan comes, I'm going to drop everything. It's like, but when you look at how the companions used to handle Ramadan, it's like you said, it's like you were using the analogy of a test before.
Mm.
You know, but if you use it on the flip side, think of, you know, Ramadan as the exam itself, and you want to get the most marks as possible. What do you end up doing? Do you prepare after the exam or do you prepare before? You prepare before.
Don't kill me. You want some hope?
No, but I'm saying...
Yeah,
he's saying...
That one's passed, now we prepare for the next one.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Prepare, like, you know, expect there to be a drop, but don't, you know, pick up a new habit throughout the rest of the months and try and avoid that drop for that habit as well. You know, there's going to be a drop in your motivation, but there shouldn't be a drop in sort of your understanding of what I need to do better.
Oh, that's very well said.
You know, you know the things that you're doing wrong outside of Ramadan. I'm not talking about sin. You know, I'm talking about, you know, you're reading, say, for example, a juz a day in Ramadan. And then outside of Ramadan, you understand that, you know, you need to read something, so just do it. Like, whether it's one page a day, whether it's one page a week, or, you know, as you said, just, you know, one night prayer a month. You know, no one's asking for
perfection.
Anything. In fact, no one's asking anything from you in the first place. You know, it's just something that's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, when it comes to ihsan, you know, people, obviously, like the sheikh was talking about how having a good circle around you can make you, like, can help you avoid sin. But when in terms of ihsan, you know, there was a man, I remember this story, there was a man who for the last 30 years of his life, he was praying in the front row of the masjid. You know, then one day he was sick and he was late, like, to the salah. And on the way there, his thing is like, what is everyone else going to think that I'm not in the front row? And then he just paused for a moment and he just realized for the last 30 years of his life, he wasn't praying at the front row for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was praying at the front row because...
To be known as the guy at the front
to
row.
To be known as that guy in the front row. So after Ramadan, don't, you know, try and keep that motivation so people can see that, oh, look, this guy is still, you know, on the haq or whatever it may be. He's, you know, he's motivated. He's a gun outside of Ramadan. It's like, no, just keep it between yourself. You know, just pick up things here and there. And if you drop, like, you know, if there is a drop, just, you know, try and work on bringing that thing back up. Just always, I think we always have high expectations of ourselves, unfortunately. I don't know why. Like, when it comes to Ramadan, just accept there's going to be a drop. You know, but don't take it as an excuse for it to drop. If that makes sense.
Yeah, 100% agree. Like, I think we were speaking about it in the first podcast of this Ramadan this year, was to analyze yourself and don't lie to yourself. You know, like, for me, I know that, for example, my temptations and when I start to lose it is when I get really upset, you know. Some people could be on a complete opposite where when they're blessed with so many bounties, they start to forget what their purpose in this life is for. You know, other people, when they're tested with hardship, they start to remember or they start to forget, you know. So learn about yourself enough to know what your weakness is and focus on that. So know that, okay, I'm coming, there's a couple of things setting off my mood for me. For example, okay, I got to speak to someone or I got to uplift my mood, otherwise I'm going to start going crashing down. Or I'm starting to get a lot of risk, you know, my business is opening up, I'm getting this, I'm getting that, a couple of, you know, contracts are being signed. All right, I'm starting to lose my belief in Allah, I'm not having enough time. You know, learn about yourself and speak to someone, hit yourself back to reality to know, you know. And there's nothing wrong with being rich and anything like that, but keep yourself motivated for the right purpose. And I think this Ramadan, on bouncing off Usaid's note, this Ramadan has taught us a lot about, like, khalwa, you know, being yourself, you know, worshipping for the most part between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. We don't need to be, as Usaid is saying, like, in the front row or whatever it is. Know that inshallah this Ramadan has created that khalwa with us to understand that what we're doing wrong and what we're doing right, you know, and keeping things between us and our creator.
Because, like, we said, Mazin said 2 weeks ago that this ibadah that you do is ultimately just going to benefit yourself.
Yeah.
No one else other than yourself. And remember, based on what Said was saying, it's a life is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Yeah, so just take it one step at a time, but always aiming to reach the finish line, which is Jannah, right? And we all know what we need to do to reach Jannah. So take it one step at a time, ultimately. And just keep pushing forward. Don't stop that marathon. Do not stop whatever you do, and definitely don't start walking back to the starting line.
Do you guys have anything to add?
What was something I was about to say. Completely forgot.
Okay. Friends, khalwa.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. Just there we go. You know, just for you know, for those listeners who don't have that strong Quran, who can't stand up for long periods of time in salah. You know, just don't use that as an excuse not to sort of worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is acceptable. You know, spend 30 minutes of just sitting down and making dua. That's it. You know, spend 30 minutes just reflecting about yourself. You know, those things do help you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and to His generosity. You know, just because you can't pray, just because you can't read Quran, there are still other things that you can do, obviously. And in that, what Ahmed said, you know, life is a marathon. I don't know, maybe you guys can agree with this or disagree. I find that, you know, if you do keep on to one thing after Ramadan, somehow, you don't intend it, but it still happens, the other things do get added to it. You know, you, for some reason, you just have this spark that you want to do something else, and you do it, and you somehow you just keep to it for the rest until the next Ramadan.
Mm.
You know, I think it's just, once you accept that, there is some, you know, flaws within our character and what we can do, it's things just start to happen eventually. I think that's what people need to do. They just need to realize what their flaws are.
Also, maybe it's important to realize at the same time, there's still 2 days and 2 nights left, right?
Yeah, it's plenty of...
For this one. Let's forget about the next one for now.
Yeah.
But let's remember there's still, you know, you're two nights and then two more days, you know, Friday, Saturday. Inshallah, for us to, you know, if we've been doing well, keep doing better. If we haven't done so much...
Yeah,
maybe it's time people to think that, you know, make the most of the last two.
They think this last 2 days, like, there's nothing that I could do. It's like, maybe today could be late Qadr for all you know.
Yeah.
You know, do something.
That's what I was going to say as well. You reminded me, like, this is, don't forget, it's an last odd night of this Ramadan to make sure that you are, if you haven't prayed your Taraweeh, get up and pray your Taraweeh. Make intention to pray Tahajjud, to do whatever. Wallahi, you don't underestimate the power of, like, a sincere dua that you can make now will change the rest of your life. You know, like, you've got the whole night ahead of you guys. Whatever it is, you know, you can wake up even half an hour before Suhoor, you know, and just make that pure intention, and inshallah we'll see the fruits and benefits of that.
Ameen.
You guys have anything more to add?
May Allah allow us to reach the next Ramadan and accept us from this Ramadan.
Barakallahu feekum. It was a pleasure having you guys on. Till next time. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.